Welcome to Having Words. Today I'm joined by Penny Hughes.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Penny, this is your first time on not only the podcast, but on like audio anywhere.
For speaking, yeah.
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 And how often would you say that I bring up my podcast in a normal conversation?
So if you say you've got like 20 conversations, I'd say you bring it up in about 20 of them.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. So you're saying a 100% chance that I bring up my the Having Words podcast. Yeah. You're right. I do in every single conversation. And I'm fine with that. I love it. How do you feel being on a microphone, Penny? Being recorded.
Not the best, but it's
fine. Well, it's not live streamed. It's right. We can cut out everything. Woo!
Cut out all the stupid stuff I say.
Oh, just me talking. now, Penny, before we start,
yes.
I have some rapid fire questions for you. Keep in mind, rapid fire with the what they call quotations.
Yeah.
With rapid fire questions because
he is doing a little
quotations.
Speech
yes, right rapid now. Fire questions because so many of the guests it's never rapid. Okay, so are you ready?
Yes, I am.
If you could buy any type of food right now, what would you buy?
Pancakes.
Okay, that was pretty fast, actually. You might have to add some silence.
Well, you know who you're asking.
So. Exactly. I knew you were going to say pancakes. This is why I said, like, I'm not going to ask what's your favourite animal, because I know what you're going to say.
What is
tigers.
It? Yes. Everyone who knows me knows that it's definitely tigers.
Pandas.
Pandas,
yeah. Penny, what is your favourite summer activity?
Ooh.
Yeah.
I do love a good beach day. Yeah. Barbecues at the beach, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Down on the beach. I mean, luckily, we live quite close to the beach.
Yeah.
We've lived our entire childhood close to the beach. Mm. So we spend
and
all our summers
we
down
moved
there.
To uni right next to a beach as well.
Arguably a better beach.
Yeah.
Because of the atmosphere.
No. Better because it's a nicer beach, worse because it's always packed in the
it
summer.
Is. Well, actually, I went to Hove Beach yesterday with some work friends and it was like dead.
Yeah,
like
Hove Lawns is really nice.
I've never been there before. I was like, this is great. Like with the skyline as
well. Yeah,
like,
I lived there last year pretty much.
Yesterday was such a nice day. I think it's, really nice. it's gotten quite cloudy today actually. But yesterday, full on clear sky, lovely blue sky.
Mm.
And we chilled on the beach and had pizza. I did.
Beautiful.
It was lovely.
Where was my invite?
Next question. Penny, if you could go anywhere in the world, where would you go and why?
Ooh. As in for holiday or just in general?
Let's say for like summer holiday.
Summer holiday. Definitely somewhere warm.
Yep.
By a beach.
Yep, lovely.
But also near to a city, so I can go to a city trip on
so
my
just
holiday.
Brighton.
I wouldn't say I'd go on holiday to the place I go to uni.
Makes sense, yeah.
I'd say somewhere in Spain, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or Italy.
All of Spain.
The whole country.
For one holiday.
Yeah.
So you go there because it's hot.
I do like a good warm holiday.
Yeah.
I feel like if I go somewhere and the weather isn't nice, I'm not on holiday, I'm just going on a trip.
Yeah, I see that. Mm. Whereas, I mean, we're thinking of going to Cornwall, aren't we?
Yeah.
And people say if it's hot there, it's like you're not in the UK. It's really
exactly.
Which would be really
exactly.
interesting.
The reason why we're not going abroad is because I don't have a passport. It's not because we're I really want to stay in England.
And why don't you have your passport?
Because I am currently applying for my Irish citizenship. Because my granddad was Irish.
Your Irish citizenship.
Irish citizenship, yeah.
Because you are quarter Irish?
Quarter Irish,
interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm actually a quarter Italian, believe it or not.
Yeah, but you tell everyone you're Italian, but you're not.
Well,
that's like me going around just being like, yay, I'm Irish!
But it's not
but
as
no one wants to brag about that.
Exactly.
So.
I am a quarter Italian.
Yeah.
Question 4.
Mm-hmm.
What is your favourite movie quote?
Movie quote? Oh, I feel like I'm one of those persons. I'm one of those people that manage to slip a movie quote into different conversations with people, especially when it's a conversation with my brother and my dad and I.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I have a favourite. I feel like if I had a go-to, it'd definitely be from Star Wars.
So what's the most common movie quote that you're saying, that you say, which is very on brand for Penny?
Ooh. I don't know. I don't know what I say a lot. I don't think I do with you. I think I do in conversations with my family a lot.
Yeah.
But that's because
you're like, hasta la vista. They're like, Penny, you've got to stop saying it. It doesn't make any sense.
But it's because we obviously grew up on the same movies. Mm. So we quote them a lot. A lot of the things we quote is from Red Dwarf, the TV show.
I still haven't seen that.
You need to. It's really
It's got
good.
That guy with the weird, like, polygon face or whatever, right?
Polygon?
Polygon head?
It's Crichton. He's a robot.
Oh, of course.
Basically.
Oh, yeah, no, okay. I remember seeing some pictures from it.
Yeah.
And finally, question mm-hmm. 5 of the rapid fire questions. It's taken 3 hours to do so far. Describe yourself in 3 words.
three words. My name's Penny.
My name is, as four. My name is.
My name's Penny.
My name's Penny. Thanks, Penny. Thanks for that rapid fire questions. How'd you find that?
It was great.
Not as rapid as you'd not, expect.
I wouldn't say rapid. I'd say answer some questions.
Answer some questions and discuss. It's like in like an exam question, it's like answer and discuss this. It's like, okay.
Don't bring up exams.
Now, Penny, what were we going to watch last week in the cinema?
We were going to watch Aladdin.
Because I have make-out movies, which I think I mentioned a few times in the Having Words podcast.
So we have to schedule our social life around Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Yeah. We don't, so we don't have a social life.
No.
We didn't watch Aladdin, which, to be fair, it looked alright. There was a lot of criticism around the first trailer because of how Will Smith looked.
Yeah, but they did fix it.
They did fix it, and like I feel like he shouldn't get as much slate as what he previously got because he is trying to fill the shoes of some very big.
Robin Williams was a god.
He was a god. He was incredible what he did.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen it. We haven't seen it, and we're probably going to watch it soon.
I've heard a lot about it. I've heard a lot of good reviews.
Yeah.
Especially from my dad. My dad texted me after he went to see it, and he was like, it was amazing. They've kind of not upped it. I think he said that it was on the same level, but it's brought something different to it than the first one did.
Mm. And that's kind of the issue is, like, a lot of the Disney films coming out at the moment are live action.
Yeah.
And Aladdin and a few other ones are Dumbo, Beauty and the Beast, Lion King they're bringing out, Jungle Book, Cinderella, a few of the ones which they're making or have made. And I kind of want to talk about how live action's changed the plot or the narrative or the first initial experience you get from watching a Disney film. Because obviously we grew up with the cartoon alternatives of the stories, so we're very much used to that kind of almost child-friendly with the cartoon aspect.
Yeah.
How do you think the live action's going to change the experience of the narrative?
I think obviously the cartoon versions of these films came out over 20 years ago, so there's very different societal ideals and stuff like that. And I saw an interview with, what's her name, Naomi Scott, the girl that plays Jasmine in the new one, and she was saying that obviously in the first one it was a lot about her being like, I don't have to marry a man to be princess and to be queen. And this one's, she said, was taking that a step further and saying, I don't need a man to be able to rule a kingdom.
Yeah.
And I should be able to do that just with who I am and showing that I can be a leader.
Yeah.
So I think just bringing them out so much later and in this day and age it allows them to bring a new argument to the table, which I think is really good. And obviously, if you're just redoing a cartoon, it's very difficult to bring something new to it rather than just remaking it the exact same thing with just different actors. So I think turning it from cartoon to live action really allows them to take it one step further.
Yeah.
At the same time, the whole Prince Ali song where Robin Williams is running around turning into different animals and stuff like that.
I wonder how they do that.
Yeah, I think there's that part of it's definitely more difficult.
Yeah.
And obviously with the first trailer coming out and Will Smith looking atrocious as the genie, it does make it more difficult to do those kinds of things, the not human aspects of it. But I think in the same way, it gives them another way to take the movie as well.
Because for me, I really liked the music in Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
And obviously the original cartoon, some of the animations are really good and like it really immerses you because of how some of the animations are very unlifelike.
Mm.
Whereas in the live action one, I found it less immersive, even though it was more like it was more realistic, because I think I was so used to the one that I grew up with, and that kind of addresses the current demographic and the current audience of these live action films. Like these are going to be kids that are growing up with the live action ones, and I wonder what their equivalent's going to be in like 20 years time when they watch something which is like, oh, this is like super live action. I'm so used to the live action one, and will they look back to the cartoon ones and be like, that's not the real version of it?
Yeah. Plus, specifically with Beauty and the Beast. When you make a live action version of it, you need to think, not only do they sound the part, but do they look the part as well?
Yeah.
For me personally, Emma Watson looked the part for Beauty and the Beast to play Belle, but she didn't sound the part in her singing, and that's where that movie kind of went down a little bit for me. For me, the Disney films are very much about the music as much as it is about the story and the action. So for me, it kind of let me down because they focus so much on that she looks the part and that her Emma Watson as a person, she fits Belle so well, but her singing isn't quite up to scratch.
Yeah.
And I think that's a difficult part of making the live action films. Whereas with the cartoon versions, it didn't matter whether they looked the part. It didn't matter if they could act. It just mattered if they were a voice actor and if they could sing.
Exactly. Like, there's a whole extra list of credentials now for somebody going into a live-action Disney film, because it's like, you need to be able to act and sing, like you were saying. Yeah. Whereas, I don't know if some... Like, they might have been really good actors, the people that sung in the original cartoons, but they were firstly singers.
Yeah.
And then the acting all came from the animation.
Mm.
Speaking
could have pulled a Troy Bolton from High School Musical 1.
And someone else singing.
Someone else singing.
Is that the second one that I just sang?
Yeah.
I've got to... Yeah.
They could have voice dubbed over someone else singing if they don't sing as well. For Emma Watson.
I think there were a few moments in the beginning of Beauty and the Beast where it looked like she was voice dubbed anyway.
Yeah, so it did. It wasn't the best done live action.
What do you think of the animation of the Beast in that film?
I wasn't a fan. That's why I'm worried about Lion King coming out. Because I think obviously humans acting in it, that looks great, and they can make it very Disney and they can make all the sets around them very Disney. Mm-hmm. But I don't think the animation's quite up there yet to do animals yet.
Yeah.
To make it
as look, realistic as yeah. what we're used to. I mean, a few key examples recently, actually, in the news is obviously Lion King coming out. We saw the posters, which yeah. look quite good, but it's all about how they're going to get the hair right, the movement right, the wind right. And I think animation's obviously always evolving.
Yeah.
But a few key, like, milestones is in the Pokemon movie that's coming out, Detective Pikachu. A lot of the Pokemon had fur, and there was a lot of backlash about that because they were like, why do Pokemon have fur? They don't in, like, the games and the cartoons. It's like, those animals would have fur.
Yeah, I feel like they would be a lot creepier if they were just skin.
Yeah, exactly.
As in the live action ones. But that'd be creepy.
It's just weird seeing them with fur.
Mm.
Whereas Lion King, we're used to lions having fur and everything as well. But yeah, it's all about the animation and how realistic it's going to look with the wind against the fur, like each individual hair and everything.
Mm.
Another one is Sonic, actually, because Sonic's coming out this year or next year. And there was massive backlash, obviously, around the design of Sonic. I don't know if you saw the trailer or a picture of it.
I saw it. Didn't they redesign it because of how much backlash?
Blacklash!
How much backlash there was.
Backlash they had, yeah.
Yeah.
They do speak to people beforehand and they like show them potential ideas for Sonic. They're like, hey, like, what do you think of this one? What do you think of that one? And then the people are like, oh, I like this because of this and this. I think I saw a post on Reddit, I think it was, where it was all of the alternative Marvel covers for Black Panther and Doctor Strange. And they look so cool, so funky.
Really artistic ones, yeah.
Yeah, really artistic ones. And like so different and that like they so stand out on on a shelf. But... like some of the sampling group might have been like, I don't like this because it reminds me of this, or I don't like this because it reminds me of a video game, or it reminds me of this and this, and they got very specific connotations, which is why. Yeah,
and if it is a cartoony type cover, people are going to assume that it's a cartoon, whereas if you've got the actors on it, you're not only going to be like, oh, it's live action, but it's also, oh, I know that actor from something else, so I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
So it is more effective if it has got actors on it, but artistically it looks a lot better if it doesn't.
Yeah, yeah. So I think, yeah, going back to Sonic, there was probably a massive audience research going around and they were like, we want Sonic to look more lifelike, so he looks more like relatable and like less like the cartoon, maybe. Like, there was probably so much feedback which led to the design of him. But then as soon as they released the trailer, there was so much backlash from audiences being like, that's not the real Sonic, his eyes are too small, he looks creepy when he smiles. And so because of that, they are changing the way Sonic looks. But either way, like, I think the reason why people were so... put off by him is because of how realistic the animations actually were. Yeah. They were like, okay, we get that Sonic, but he looks like hyper realistic.
Yeah.
And that isn't the Sonic that we envisioned in our heads.
Yeah, like the technology is amazing nowadays of how realistic you can get it, but at the same time, if you're turning it from a cartoon character, you kind of need to keep a little bit of that fantasy there rather than trying to make them into a almost human level realistic.
Yeah.
It does just get creepy.
It is. And like, for example, just Sonic.
Yeah.
I think Pokemon Detective Pikachu are doing the animations quite well. I mean, the trailer looked quite realistic.
Yeah.
Like, the Psyduck had fur and everything. The Pikachu had like animations look really cute.
I've heard very good things about that film.
Yeah.
And Ryan Reynolds, you can't really go wrong with him.
Oh no, he's brilliant. He makes it. Speaking of like actors making films, Jim Carrey in Sonic.
Yeah.
He's the egg... What's
egg,
the bad guy?
Eggman?
Eggman? Sure. He's the bad guy in it. So it'll be really interesting to see if he saves the film.
Mm, yeah, there's been a lot of posts saying that he's the only reason people are going to keep on going with wanting to watch the film.
Yeah. I mean, there is actually a massive Sonic fan base, which I only recently became exposed to when I kind of watched some content into Sonic. I was like, why is there a film on it? But it turns out there's a massive Sonic fan base. There's also like a Sonic Con or something, like a conference.
A whole Comic-Con type thing.
Yeah, just based for Sonic. Wow. And it's like so popular.
Mm.
I think an issue that the audience is going to have is that maybe they're thinking if they change the animation style to like what Sonic should look like, then it doesn't make it a better film. Like the narrative and like the dialogue and the script makes it a good film or not. So I think Jim Carrey definitely will be a big contributor to whether people think that film is going to be successful or not.
Yeah, to be fair, he is an amazing voice actor.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But the Lion King posters do look quite good.
Yeah, they do. I think the posters look really good, but when I watched the trailer, I was still hesitant about it. Like, I'm very intrigued at how it's actually going to look with a whole film of it, because obviously you only get a very brief snippet with the trailer.
Well, it's always going to be difficult to have animals, which we're used to seeing, because like they look really realistic, but having them talk and sing and have relationships which we only associate with humans, it's going to be really interesting.
To be fair, they've already done Jungle Book.
Oh, yeah.
And that had the
boy in it.
The animation of the animals with Mowgli, the boy.
Mm-hmm.
And it, to be fair, once you get into it, it's very good.
Yeah.
But I think there's always the initial, oh, that looks kind of strange.
Yeah.
But once you're actually immersed into the film, then you kind of ignore that it's live action.
Yeah.
Not live action, animated.
Yeah. You do, because you're so... You understand the world and you're part of the world.
Yeah, definitely.
In.
The only bit I didn't like from Jungle Book was the big monkey. What was his name? King... King Louis?
Oh, that whole thing.
King Louis, and it was... What was his name?
I forget his name. What, him climbing through the ruined temples trying to catch...
Yeah, but just... What, Christopher Walken? Is that his name?
Oh, was he the big monkey?
Yeah, he was the big monkey, and I think I love him so much as an actor because I think he's hilarious, mainly just from his voice, that hearing his voice in that, you can't really picture it being a monkey, just because you know the voice so well because his voice is so distinct.
Yeah. Try and use his voice.
No.
How does it go?
I'm thinking
Hairspray.
Yeah.
But, no, I can't do it.
I don't do impressions.
I can't do it. I don't do impressions. I can only do Seinfeld, as the audience of Having Words probably know.
Mm-hmm. We all know. That's the thing that was before talking about a podcast in every conversation.
It was my Seinfeld impressions. From B-movie. He was Barry B from B-movie.
I know, you've told me.
Bees make honey! Well, give me a line from B-movie.
This you know, is you my just... done with your shit voice.
Yeah, it is. I'm done with this. I want to try and say another line from B-movie. I don't want to work my entire life! I just do this for the rest of the podcast.
The audience should pray for me.
No, you're fine. You love it. You're clapping along.
Yeah.
I love B-movie.
I really enjoy it.
Dumbo got a lot of backlash, even though it had Danny DeVito in, which is an incredible
way. Amazing, yeah.
And now, once again, you and I haven't seen Dumbo.
Let's talk about some more films we haven't seen yet.
Woo! We haven't seen Dumbo, but just from the trailer and the animation of it, like, the animation of Dumbo as an elephant looked quite good.
It did. It looked quite good.
But obviously, I think with all the good animation of it, it all comes down, and this is why the negative reviews were there, it all comes down to the narrative as well and the script.
Mm.
And I think, like you were saying earlier, like it's all well and good that it's got the live action aspect and it's got, and they can add new arguments to it, but they're still limited by the original storyline of it.
Definitely.
And
there's only so much you can change it, because obviously it's going out for a new generation to see it, so that is... Even though they have seen the cartoon, but that is the film of their generation of that.
Yeah.
But you've still got all the people our age and older that remember the animation from our childhood, so you can't change it too much.
Yeah.
Until there's like an outroar from.
I think that's the issue that a lot of the producers and production agents, production companies are having, is they're trying to make it perfect for the new audience, the new youngsters, yeah. and adapting to their lifestyle and what mm. they're exposed to in film. But they're also trying to make it loved by people that are so used to and grew up with the original films.
Definitely.
And I think it causes a conflict in narrative. Mm. Like, you can't do both. Mm. Just focus on one.
I think it'd be very difficult to find any child in the entire world that hasn't seen a Disney film. Like, everyone yeah. everyone knows Disney, and everyone is...
Everyone's heard of Disney, yeah.
Everyone's heard of Disney, but it's part of everyone's childhood so much mm. that it's very difficult to get around that.
Yeah, everyone, without even knowing so, because like you said, everyone's heard of Disney or, mm. or like has a favourite character without even yeah. knowing it, it's hard to not get passionate about it when exactly. when you grew up next to around yeah. it.
Especially because everyone, even if they're not necessarily their favourite Disney films, but everyone's got the nostalgia to do with one or two Disney films. Like, for me, it was Aladdin. That was the one I watched the most when I was a child because it was yeah. my dad's favourite. So I think, in that way, everyone's got one Disney film that they'd be very sensitive to if they change it.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think, what is one film that you... a Disney film that you really like, which you think could be ruined through live action?
I actually would have said Aladdin because of all the genie bits, yeah. because he changes form so much and it adds so much to mm. the songs, especially in Prince Ali yeah. And in Friend Like Me.
Yeah.
I think it's so well done in the cartoon and obviously with Robin Williams as well that it would have been very, very difficult to fill those shoes.
Exactly. Luckily, they do have Will Smith, who's an incredible actor.
Incredible, yeah.
I've heard that he has his own twist to the genie.
He adds like a Fresh Prince twist to it, yeah. almost.
Which would be interesting. Yeah. I think he posted about it on the yeah. Instagram. He was like, I can't feel his boots, but you know, mm. I'm just trying to do it justice.
Yeah, definitely.
He's adding his own like spin mm. to it as well. What's one Disney film that you grew up with which you would love to see remade again in an animation or live action format?
Because
I've got my one in mind. I reckon you could guess it.
Trying to read your mind here.
Whoa.
I don't know, what is it?
Hercules.
Hercules. Oh, I do love Hercules.
I think, yeah, like you said, like, Aladdin... Like, the animation style needs to be mm. good for Aladdin to work.
Yeah.
But I think we are at a point where we could... that it does work.
Mm.
Obviously, being able to animate things through cartoon and drawing, mm. There's no limit to the amount of imagination and stuff yeah. that you can do. Whereas special effects, it does come down mm. to money is a massive aspect because it costs so much mm. to even...
But it is Disney.
So. But it is Disney. They've got yeah. all the money in the world, so it's fine.
Exactly.
They own Marvel.
They now. Own everything.
Exactly. They own Star Wars as
Star
well.
Star Wars, Marvel, everything.
Me. Woo! But I think Hercules, there's a lot of bits which, mm. the bits based in like the god realm and everything, yeah. Which will be quite interesting to see how they get around that. And obviously there have been, I think, two or three Hercules films made based off the character of Hercules and yeah. the Greek mythology of him.
Yeah, a lot of them, there was that one with the rock?
Yeah, I never watched that
but
one.
I think, I haven't seen it either, but I think that Hercules is one of the stories that is so easy to go down the gritty route. That it'd be very interesting to see the Disney route with it.
Yeah, especially with song as well. Imagine if The Rock came back for Disney, being like, yeah, I'll do
well,
it.
Well, he's already the character in Maui in Maui. Moana. Yeah.
He did a good, he did a great job.
That would be a very good one to see live action.
Who would you... Yeah, what Disney film would you like to be made into live action that hasn't already?
I think saying it, Moana, but at the same time, that's a very recent film.
Yeah.
So I think it's not yet time to do it in live action, but I think...
It will, eventually.
10, 20 years down the line, I think it would be very interesting to see how they would adapt that. Because I think of the recent ones, that's probably my favourite.
Yeah.
I really like the storyline of that.
Mm. Another one that I just remembered was Treasure Planet.
Yes.
That would be very difficult to make with, like...
Do you remember you used to get the CD-ROMs from it in cereal boxes?
I think so.
Yeah, I remember that when I was a child.
Yeah, they... I watched a documentary on it on YouTube, actually, and how Disney invested so much money into it, into the like, production of it, to see if it would pay off. It didn't pay off at all. Like, it, unfortunately, it didn't get the kind of viewership that it wanted to. It has a lot now because of DVD and stuff, such as... What's that film? Titanic? That when it came out in cinemas, it wasn't as big.
Yeah, what's that film? Titanic? The really little one. Titanic? No, won a few Oscars. Titanic,
no,
huh?
No, wait, what was it? Or was it Shawshank Redemption? There's a film that...
Shawshank Redemption didn't get anywhere near the viewership when it first came out than it has now because no one could remember the name of the film.
Was it that?
Yeah. I saw an interview with Morgan Freeman on it and he said that It was such a good film, and the people who saw it loved it so much, but no one could see it because word of mouth wise, people were just like, I went to see no one could remember the name, so it was very difficult to get it through word of mouth, and at the time that was the main thing.
I think it was that film then. Yeah. It was that film that didn't make much money at box office, but when it was released as DVD, it made so much money.
Yeah, it's a cult classic now.
Yeah. So yeah, I watched this Treasure Planet documentary, and they said how as soon as it was released, Disney just like literally cut ties with it. They didn't like continue to push it and continue to distribute it. I've heard a lot of stuff about Disney. It's more so their gaming industry side of Disney. With one of the gaming companies that Disney owns, that they were making a massive profit, but they weren't meeting the expectations that Disney had, so Disney shut them down. Like, Disney has very high expectations of what they want from a company.
Yeah, there's a lot of goals you need to hit with Disney.
Which is why Treasure Planet just kind of, they didn't push it anymore. Although I think it might have maybe made their money back, but it didn't get anywhere close to what Disney wanted at all. So I think it would be really cool. I don't think we might ever get a Treasure Planet film again, but it'd be really interesting to see how they did it as live action.
I think any of the films that aren't human-based, because obviously you've got all the Disney princess ones that are mainly human, like Cinderella, like Beauty and the Beast, that kind of thing. Actually, no, Beauty and the Beast, there's a lot of other things. But all the ones that aren't human, like the animal ones or the alien ones, for example, Treasure Planet, that would be very interesting how they would integrate that.
And make it work, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Personally, I think the Jungle Book, for the most part, was very well done and integrating Mowgli into the animal kingdom. But it's interesting with Lion King how it's going to work with it purely being animals.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's no humans in any of the films, is there? Or is there poachers in one of them?
Yeah. In the second one, maybe?
In the second one or third one, like a child gets taken and there's poachers in a car or something like that.
Yeah, it really gets dark.
Maybe. Yeah. God, really actually gets dark.
Yeah, Lion King, such a heartwarming film. The lion dies. Lovely. Spoiler alert.
I mean, spoiler alert. Oh, no. I mean, it's been, what, 20 years now?
Yeah.
I'm looking for, maybe not even 20 years, 15 years. I'm definitely looking forward to watching the Lion King animation because I think you've seen it on stage as well in London.
Yes.
So we've seen it on stage, obviously a lot younger. Yeah. We've seen it on stage and we've seen it as a film, as a cartoon animation. So it'd be really interesting to see another adaptation of Lion King again.
And I think there's quite a few good actors and famous people in the new Lion King. Beyonce's Nala.
That would be so cool. Oh, God, that would be so cool, actually, thinking about some of the songs.
Yeah, she's amazing. Seth Rogen is Pumbaa. Donald Glover is Simba. Childish Gambino.
That's going to be cool, because he was... he's been expanding his career. He was also in the Han Solo movie as well, playing Lando.
Yeah, he was. He was in Spider-Man as well, Homecoming. Was it Homecoming? Homecoming. He played someone trying to get guns from someone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and then he got... the back of a truck under a bridge.
Yeah, but he was in that because the directors also directed Community. And all of the main actors, I think bar two of them from Community, have been in one of the Marvel movies now.
Yeah.
For example, what's his name? The Chinese guy that's hilarious.
I know which one. Yeah. He's a comedian as well.
Yeah, he was in Endgame. He played the security guard.
Oh, yeah, that was funny.
So they've all been in one of the Marvel movies, and that's just a little Easter egg for all the Community fans.
Speaking of Marvel movies, I mean, obviously, we're keeping with Disney here.
Yeah.
Because Disney owns everything. We're not getting any more Marvel films.
Yeah.
That's so sad.
It's been so long of our life.
It's been so long of our lives.
So long of our lives.
Because, like, every year, every month, like, you have a Marvel film to look forward to. And obviously, at the moment, all I can think is the next Spider-Man film. And I don't like this version of Spider-Man anyway.
He's my favourite version, to be honest.
Well, you're my least favourite version of... Penny, wait.
Don't have to get personal.
You don't have to get personal about it. Personal podcast. So yeah, it just feels weird that I'm like, I was always looking forward to the end game or like the film when they all come together, which is obviously Infinity War. So it's weird like not having anything to look forward to Marvel-wise anymore.
Do you remember when the first Avengers film came out? And everyone just like, oh, it's so ambitious, putting so many characters in. And then they had Infinity War and Endgame.
Yeah. Think of all the possibilities for the future. Like, when they start that next venture, they're going with Guardians of the Galaxy and Thor, aren't they?
Yeah, I think I read somewhere that Spider-Man is supposed to be the new centre of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. That'd be interesting. And then there's also, obviously, the Guardians side of it as well. But obviously, with what happened to Iron Man... that we don't speak of yet. It's too soon.
Or what didn't happen to Iron Man.
so emotional. Yeah.
Also not emotional. For
the ending of Endgame, obviously, Spider-Man being so close to Iron Man, Spider-Man's kind of taking over. Exactly. And in the most recent trailer for Spider-Man, you can almost see that happening and them mentioning Iron Man and being like, you need to step up now.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be a really interesting shift. But like you said, it's almost like a whole new generation of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, now. And like obviously we've been hinted towards it with the Guardians of the Galaxy and Thor, which I don't know how much longer Thor's going to be. Chris Hemsworth is going to be in but with, yeah, Spider-Man.
Do you reckon he's gone on a My Fat Diaries or something like that? A Weight Watchers program before the next...
I don't know. It'll be interesting. We'll have to see.
Do you reckon there'll be a intense gym sequence?
Yeah, a nice like half hour. Maybe they'll just
Taylor
be
Swift playing.
They'll just be a. There'll just be a nice little like just a film based on his gym workout.
Mm.
That'd be so
like
cool.
A little mini episode that they like a little teaser trailer they release. It's just him working out.
Or maybe like at the end of Spider-Man after the credits.
Oh, it'll the be end him credits working scene.
Out and getting buff. That'd be really cool.
That would be really cool.
I just think it's a little bit too fragmented to build another whole Marvel experience based off of Spider-Man. Guardians of the Galaxy, you can explore all of the space ventures. Just it will feel too different to what we've already had. Like, I'm not saying Iron Man was... When did Iron Man come out, the first Iron Man?
2008, I think.
2008, like, less relatable because he's like a millionaire, billionaire, whatever. But it's more relatable because it's based on Earth and like...
Yeah.
Based around things that we're familiar with, New York and everything. Whereas Guardians of the Galaxy, I suppose the familiarity comes from them as characters and we know what they've been through.
But at the same time, that gives them so much more to explore. Because obviously they are in space, it's almost if all the Earth rules go out the window. So they can, it's really, they can...
Woo! No gravity! Woo! Yes, it'll be really, really interesting to see what kind of Marvel characters and Marvel... a lot of maybe the super nerds will be like, oh, but they live in space, so why can't they come fight Thanos or whatever? Like, what kind of characters they can kind of bring in and make their own movies based on.
Mm. And I saw an interview with the Russo brothers that obviously directed a lot of the films, including Endgame and Infinity War, and they were saying that when they were writing Endgame, it wasn't to set up anything else, whereas throughout the entire however many years it's been so far, like 11 years, that it's always been, you're writing about 10 different movies at once, they can all converge into this one thing at the end. Whereas
they were writing Endgame.
Yeah, they were writing Endgame as the ending. They weren't writing it to leave anything open, and that gave them complete creative freedom to do what they did with it, which was amazing.
Yeah.
But the reason they did that was so that they could have that creative freedom, but it meant that they haven't really left anything for the future.
No.
So it's all a completely open book.
Mm. It's it's made me quite optimistic for the future of Marvel from the next Spider-Man film. Because the momentum from creating the previous Marvel films is very much carried across into that Spider-Man film.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't look like it's just like, oh, we'll make another one. It looks like they put in a lot into this film.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially adding, what is it, Jake Gyllenhaal in this one?
As
Mysterio?
Mysterio, yeah. But at the same time, I think it's almost detracting from what we know as Spider-Man as a character, because it's supposed to be your friendly neighbourhood Spider-Man. He deals with the neighbourhood issues that happens to be like, what is it, the Sandman? Octopus Man, what's his name?
Dr. Octopus,
yeah. But it was your friendly neighbourhood Spider-Man, whereas now he's in Europe and dealing with much bigger problems. He's been to space, all of these things. And it's kind of, it's developing that character so much, but I think there's also the potential to be an uproar from the diehard comic book fans, because it's kind of diverging from the Spider-Man that we know so much.
Yeah, it'd be really interesting to see which direction they push it in, especially how they leave the end of that film.
Yeah.
Because obviously Tom Holland spoiled the fact that it's going to be more than two or more than
one. Yeah, he said this. He said in an interview, "Yeah, while I was filming two and three, and I was like, ah."
Excuse me? I can't believe that.
Two and three?
So it'll be really interesting to see if they leave it open for another film. Yeah. Or maybe they just introduce another character in that and they'll build a series off of that character.
Mm.
Like, there's no way Marvel's going to stop. Like, their film department, they basically control the film industry with some of their films.
Yeah, completely.
They can't stop making
films.
And
Disney controls them.
And Disney controls them, exactly. Crazy. So it'll be really interesting to see what the kind of direction they're going to push it in. I really hope they make more films like Thor Ragnarok, because that was really funny.
That was brilliant.
That was funny, but also has so much meaning behind it, like the connection between Thor and Hulk and the things that they learned along the way. And also the space aspect as well. Like, it was spacey, but it wasn't too out there. Like, the place where they had the arena, at the like where Thor and Hulk were fighting, like the kind of the black market aspect of like just the streets and everything. Yeah. It was really quite Earth-like. But I hope they bring that across.
And fun fact about that film, Penny's fun fact, is that the line where Thor first sees Hulk and he's supposed to battle him but finds out it's Hulk and he's just like, he's a friend from work. That line was written by a Make-A-Wish kid that was there on the day. He was like, oh, I think you should say this. And
that's really cool.
They put it in the movie and it's one of the best lines.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I wonder what would have happened otherwise.
Yeah. That's I think he did have another... I don't think he even said anything. He just said, yes.
Yeah.
This is brilliant. It's the Hulk.
But it was in the trailer as well, I think. So, yeah.
It was a brilliant line. And it was written by a kid that was there as his Make-A-Wish. Yeah.
Oh, that's cute. Now, Penny.
Yes.
On the lines of Disney, you're going somewhere on Christmas, around Christmas, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Where's that place I'm going? I'm going to Disney World in Florida.
Okay, every time you said that, you can't say it without a smile. You're like, I'm going to Disney World.
I'm so excited.
I can tell because how many hours worth of Disney content have you seen? Disney vlogs.
Yeah, so my current thing is when I'm stressed about exams, I tend to take my mind off it by pretending that I'm about to go on holiday.
in a few 6 months.
6 months' time. 6-7 months. But yeah, over Christmas I'm going to Florida for 2.5 weeks with my dad and my brother, which would be really nice. But I have, in the run up to that, as in 6 months beforehand, I've watched completely excessive amounts of Florida vlogs and people going to Disney World, and I'm just like, I already know the whole place. I'm just like, nothing is going to be a surprise to me. I've ruined all the magic.
Great.
But I'm really excited. I'm
Are you going to vlog it? Great. Like all the vlogs you've seen?
I'm not going to vlog it, but
I'm Penny, I'm in Disneyland.
I don't know. My plan is to... I definitely want to document it with photographs because I think for anyone, Disney World and going to Universal and all those different things, especially when you go to America to do it, it's not the kind of thing that you do over and over again.
Yeah.
So, whereas obviously you can go to Thought Park or the zoo so many different times.
I mean, for a lot of people it's literally a once in a lifetime.
Yeah, exactly. And I did go when I was very little. I remember it being amazing and I remember little bits of it.
Yeah.
But I don't remember it at all. So I wanna, even when I'm very old, I wanna be able to remember going and I wanna remember everything. So I think I will document it a lot more this time with photos.
Just loads of selfies.
Yeah, and I had a conversation with my dad, who's obviously I'm going with, the other day, and we were saying we are going to be the biggest white girls running around Disneyland posing with all the characters, and we can't wait.
Yeah.
I'm going to get Minnie Mouse's.
Oh,
it's going to be amazing. I'm going to get you some Minnie Mouse's. Oh, it's going to be great.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
I remember when I went, my parents were concerned that my brother and I were too old. I think I was...
Meanwhile, my dad's 17, like 18? 52 and he's so excited.
he can't wait.
Yeah.
But we still had so much fun. Like, I think a lot of people are concerned that kids are going to love it no matter what, but if they're teenagers are going to like it. And, like, I think a lot of people that go are actually in their 20s. So, I think they have something for everything. Yeah. Like, they're very... Disney's very good at, obviously, planning and, like, knowing their audience in this regard. So they know exactly what their audience is going to like and they know how big their audience
is. Exactly.
And they know the best thing to get the most money, because that's what Disney's, like, main game plan here is to apply to the biggest and, like, the mass audience. And that is, obviously, 20s to 30s and then so on. The people who actually have the time and money to go away.
I think there is that phase, though, that you kind of... You don't get disinterested with it, almost, but... It's almost as if you're too cool, in quotations, for Disney. And that's usually tends to be the mid-teens area. And then you start loving it again.
Yeah.
But I know I definitely went through the phase that anything that I loved as a child, I'd almost shun out because I was like, I'm an adult now. I'm grown up. I'm not going to like that rubbish anymore.
Yeah, I don't like Disney princesses. Yeah. And you see it one day, you're like, that's pretty cool Disney princess.
And start watching High School Musical again. And it's great.
Yeah.
But I think there's definitely that phase that it is... risk are you bringing your teenage boys to Disneyland, but at the same time you're always going to love it. It's always going to bring back that nostalgia from when you were a kid.
Exactly.
And I think that's where the magic from Disney come from, is bringing back that childlike feeling.
Yeah. And that obviously links back to the whole, these live-action Disney films are going to be the Disney films that people grow up with.
Exactly.
That these are going to create the nostalgia for so many people, like the cartoon animations have for us. It'd be interesting to see how Disneyland changes based on the new content being created. Yeah. I mean, the whole reason, like, all these films are coming back around again is because I think Walt Disney, the guy, he put in his will, he was like, the films need to be made every 10 years so each generation can experience the nostalgia and the experience.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, obviously, like you were saying earlier, like, new arguments have to be made, such as in Aladdin, the whole idea of that Jasmine doesn't need Aladdin to kind of become her own person.
Yeah. And it's not even, I don't need a husband, it's I don't need a man to rule the kingdom.
Yeah. Or, like, in other films, like, I don't need a man to be happy, I don't need to find love. Like, there's so many other films, and that's going to be quite difficult to address some of the older Disney films, that, such as Snow White. Like, she can only be
awoken by a man's
kiss or whatever. It's like, that's probably why Snow White hasn't been made into live action.
Yeah, like, I think a lot of things like that, they have aged quite badly just because of how much we've progressed as a society.
Yeah. It'd be really interesting to see if they did make it. It's like, how would you get around that? Maybe like the guy's just the man's kiss doesn't work, and like, I don't know. Like, a lot of the original narrative will have to be changed.
Why don't they turn her into a lesbian?
Turn her into a lesbian.
Prince Charming doesn't work, but
oh no, it's Prince Charming, but it's a female Prince Charming, Princess Charming.
Interesting.
Penny, before we finish,
yes.
Firstly, thank you for coming on the podcast.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
You're going to be on future episodes as well. I really want to get you on an episode of Having Games, which we haven't done in a while because of just the guest list and people being busy. It's difficult
something. The guest list. It's an exclusive club.
Okay? The guest list, exactly. Good luck trying to get on it.
Mm.
And before we finish, any shout-outs for you, Penny?
I want to shout out Disney. I'm coming to Disney World soon. Please give me free stuff.
I don't think,
I would love some fast passes.
Oh my God, they just emailed me saying no.
Well,
I'm just happy they listened to Happy Words podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, now sponsored by Disney. We're not sponsored by Disney. Shout out Disney. I'm going to shout out...
I want to shout out Evelyn.
Yeah.
Little baby, Tom's baby.
Little baby, Tom's little baby, adorable. Yeah,
she's so cute.
I don't want to shout her out because that means I'm going to want to shout her out every single week.
Yeah.
So instead, I'm going to shout out Tom. You know what? He needs all the shout outs he can get because he's in a new position in his life right now with a baby.
Mm.
And Tom, if you're listening to this...
He needs all the help he can get.
Tom, if you're... Sorry, when you're listening to this, we shout you out. We wish you the best of luck. And I want to help out as much as possible when I can.
Same.
If you want to hear more about Tom's baby, listen to last week's episode 21 with Tom. Thank you ever so much for listening, you guys. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Reddit. And you can listen to us on Spotify, iTunes, and literally any other podcasting platform now. And if you want, you can support us on Patreon. Eventually, we're going to release more content down the line on Patreon, exclusive to Patreon's members. Yeah, you can find us at patreon.com/havingwords. Feel free to leave a review on anything that you're listening to us on. And if you enjoyed this episode, leave us a 5-star rating. If you didn't, leave us a 4-star rating. And we'll see.
If you really hated it.
If you really hate us, leave us a 4. Yeah, no. Then just don't stop listening. You shouldn't have listened this far in. And we'll see you next week where a special birthday episode, because it's my birthday next weekend, next Saturday. Woo! We're recording this on Saturday the 1st, and my birthday is on Saturday the 8th. And Tom is actually hosting the episode for me.
Lovely.
So, like episode, whatever episode Tom hosted, episode 6, 7, I think. Tom will be hosting again, and it'll be a very exclusive birthday episode, so definitely tune into that. Penny, once again, thank you ever so much for joining me.
No problem, thanks for having me.
And before we finish, a final word or a final bit of advice for our listeners.
Final bit of advice, if you do have exams to prep for, why don't you plan a holiday instead?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Penny's got exams, and she's planning and watching vlogs instead of doing any sort of exam prep.
Exactly. It's great.
You're crying again.
Oh, no.
Help me,
please.
Penny, thanks ever so much for coming on. See you in the future. Hopefully, it wouldn't take 21, 22 episodes to get you on. Bye.
Bye.